What's happening in your hometown? Let us know. Call the KGLO Live Line on the Tim Fleming Show at 494-2500. We're your hometown news station, AM 1300 KGLO.
And on our KGLO Live Line today, we do have Brian Hunniff, the director of the Cerro Gordo County Department of Public Health. And Brian, great to have you on again this Tuesday morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And as always, we appreciate the opportunity to visit with you.
Well, no problem. And I know we started this last week. I know we got a lot of great information out there. And with each and every day that goes by, I know you get more and more questions. And so why don't you kind of bring us up to date? I know we were talking earlier this morning. It's that time more and more questions start to happen, okay? What's next? Who gets the next round? And where do the shots take place? All of that. And even questions about how to get registered for this once it happens.
Yeah, that seems to be the big question for everyone. And you and I talked last week before the governor had come out with some new kind of guidance for us at the local public health level and working through our administration of the vaccine. So clearly there's been some adjustments that have been made. So what those adjustments really were intended to do is try to create some consistency, I think, among public health agencies across the state. And so, you know, our phase 1B, so that is the group that comes after we're completed with our 1A group, which is all of our healthcare workers in general terms. And so with the phase 1B, when the governor and when the Iowa Department of Public Health comes out with new kind of directions or specifications that we need to follow, they put out what is called a vaccine shortage order. And that order gives us direction on how that vaccine needs to be administered. Now, with the adjustments last week, the phase 1B includes people who are 65 years of age and older. And then below that, or as part of that, there's also several tiers worth of people who or groups that will need to be receiving vaccine throughout this process. And there's a tier 1 group, which is, quite honestly, that's the only group that we're focusing on because it's a large group of first responders, firefighters, police officers, our schools, teachers and staff, and then some of our child care workers. So that's what happened last week, kind of mid to late week. Now, we kind of did a couple of dry runs with our clinic site, and we've, of course, made that publicly known where we're going to be set up providing COVID vaccinations. Now the question, as you ask, is how do people get signed up? And what we have asked people to do is to go on to, at least through masoncity.net or through Clear Lake, and you'll find a code red link that people can put their name and information into and then receive call notification or email notification or text notification, whatever you choose. And we're going to use that system to get messaging out to a very large number of people throughout the region, letting people know that we've got vaccine and we're calling for people of certain groups to basically get signed up. So that's where we're at with that.
So it's right now we're at that point where many of us are already signed up for weather alerts and emergency bulletins and those kinds of things. So those of us that are signed up, we don't need to sign up again, correct?
That is absolutely correct. If you are signed up, you're good, and there's nothing else really to do. The big question that we've been receiving is, okay, I don't have a computer. I don't know how to sign up for that. So how will I be otherwise notified? And we will not only use the Code Red system, but we will use our media partners such as yourself. We'll use our social media capabilities, and we will we will get that message out so that we anticipate everybody should hear about it in some capacity, that we will have openings available. And that scheduling process, if people don't have a computer, we will also provide a means by which people will be able to call in and get try to get a slot. Now, I need to preface this. we get and receive only a very limited number of vaccines each week, and we've talked a little bit about that. So when we put notification out there, there may not be any slots available for that week, and we just ask for people to be patient with us, and we will continue to work through our groups as we have vaccine available.
So just don't disregard those notifications, the code red notifications. They'll be sent out to alert you of when you should be signing up. And these are, again, Brian, these are registered time periods for people to come in to get that vaccination.
Yeah, that is correct. We really wanted to make sure that people didn't feel like they needed to be first in line and wait outside of the old Sears building where we'll be doing our mass vaccination clinics. We didn't want people waiting outside standing in the cold for you know, hours and hours. And so we just felt that a scheduling system or mechanism was appropriate to try to help people with knowing when they can show up and get their vaccine. And so again, we will require that people have a time-scheduled slot. We will be able to amplify or scale up our vaccination efforts if we receive additional vaccines, and we'll be able to bring in additional volunteer nurses to help us be able to get those vaccines out. So as more vaccine becomes available, that clinic will get busier and busier.
Yeah, and I've heard you say that a couple of different times right now, and I guess that's the $24,000 question is, as vaccines become more available, and you really don't know, do you?
No, we really don't, and you know, to that end, I mean, it's neither does the state. We know that Iowa receives about 19,500 doses every week of Moderna vaccine, and that needs to be spread out amongst all of our public health agencies and across the state. That doesn't go very far. Now, with our long-term care residents and staff, we know that their efforts to vaccinate those long-term care centers are coming to an end, and that's good news. I think that's a small win in a big effort. So once those efforts are done, then those Pfizer vaccines will then be added to the Moderna vaccines that we're receiving. And so we're assuming, we're being told that the numbers should go up and we should be able to scale up on our efforts. Now, that doesn't mean it's necessarily going to get any easier for us, because balancing two different types of vaccines and making sure that people get a vaccine and then get the right timing for follow-up, which is 21 days or 28 days, is going to be a trick as well. So this is going to get increasingly more complex for us to try to administer.
Yeah, the tracking part of it, I guess, like you're talking about, is one thing. The other is, and I know last week you talked about volunteers. You thought you had enough people that were ready to help with the vaccinations. Are you still good in that situation?
Yeah, we really are. I do want to put a plug in for those people. We have about 135 people who have volunteered, and again, we've had two kind of dry runs. We did administer vaccine at those locations for small groups of people, so we could try to work out any kinks that we would have in that process, and we gave out about 350 doses of vaccine. Those volunteers are fantastic. As soon as we open up the slots that we need volunteers helping us with, they literally fill up the slots in an hour. So we have about 25 volunteers to 30 volunteers that we need for each one of these clinics. And again, they're fantastic. And yeah, for now we're good on volunteers, but we can talk more in the future, Tim. If we need some additional, we'll definitely reach out and ask. I'm just thrilled with the response that we've had from the community. And the people just wanting to step forward and help us out. Actually, we're having some additional conversation about how we might use volunteers with some of our scheduling efforts, and having a call center for people to be able to call in who don't have a computer so that they can get scheduled. And how is that going to work? Again, there's a lot of moving parts that we need to work through, and we met yesterday talking about what that might look like. And so, again, that will be information we'll pass along to people once we get closer to really getting things up and running.
So, again, I think we talked last week, too, about just practicing a little bit of patience. And let me ask you this, too, now. Again, another week has gone by. Any challenges? What have been your biggest challenges over the last week or so? And as you continue to put this into motion?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest challenge is just trying to keep your listeners and the public updated. It's a constant challenge for us because we get a lot of phone calls. People just asking when is it my turn? How can I get signed up? You know, it's those general messages that we constantly try to keep out in front of people because it's important. People, you know, we recognize and empathize with people. I mean, they're scared. This has been going on for a long time. People know that a vaccine can kind of bring some conclusion in this process. And so, you know, we want to help people out and try to answer those calls and then try to get more information out to people. So it's constantly just trying to stay ahead of the information that's coming from the federal government to the state, to us, and keeping people knowledgeable on what's really happening.
All righty. Any website information you want to pass along right now so people that do have access to computers, they can read about some things, check on some things that way? I know phone calls are difficult for you. You're not encouraging people to just pick up the phone and call your office.
Yeah, I mean, we're always here, and we try to respond to the number of calls that are coming in by, you know, adding people to our kind of call center. We're kind of, as a department, a call center. But, again, we try to get information out to the public, again, through our social media efforts, Facebook, Instagram, through our website, and doing, you know, also press announcements. We do a weekly or biweekly update through our Joint Information Center using some of our media professionals in various agencies to kind of develop our primary talking points that we want to pass along. So we ask people just check that out if you can. And, of course, we're always here if people need to give a call.
Fantastic stuff. Brian, anything else we need to touch on this week? I think we're pretty much up to date, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. Again, there's a lot of things happening just with the team here and working with our community partners, trying to, you know, keep a plan each week going forward. We're giving it everything we've got, and we know that the whole vaccination effort's likely going to take us probably into 2022. I'm just being realistic about how long this is going to take. So patience, timing, and we'll get there together. We just take it one day at a time, Tim.
You probably don't hear it enough, but you guys are doing a nice job.
Well, thank you. We do appreciate the support of the community as well as our media partners for sure. So it means a lot.
Brian, have a great day, great week, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday morning, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you very much, Tim.
Take care, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Bye now.
It's Brian Hanoff with us, the director of the Sirogoto County Department of Public Health, and he's with us on a weekly visit Tuesday mornings at 7:30 on AM 1300 KGLO.